Welcome, everyone, to the Sports Illustrated Media Podcast. I am your host, Jimmy Traina. Thanks so much for joining me again in the SI Studios with my producer, Brandon Nix. Brandon, how are you?
I'm good, man. How you doing?
I'm doing well. You're a little more than a week in here at your tenure at SI. How's it going so far?
Going pretty good.
Yeah? All right. That's good. That's good. Sometimes it takes a little while to get things rolling here with your email, your computer, this, that. So hopefully they set you up good.
It's been smooth.
Yeah.
Not much drama.
You enjoying the podcast here at SI?
Of course.
Yeah. Good answer. glad Brandon's with us. We're gonna change the format of the podcast slightly. It's not going to be a major change, but what we're going to do every week going forward, I'm going to start it this week as a matter of fact, is I'm going to keep the top of the show, the first 30 minutes, and don't hold me to 30. It might be 20 some week. It might be 35 another week, so don't hold me to 30 exactly. But approximately 30 minutes at the top will always be sports media related in terms of we're going to go through the sports media news of the week, the stories of the week in sports media with a rotating cast. The usual, we have Andrew Marchand today. I'll call on, you know, the John Orans and all of the media people out there. And I'm going to mix in some people from the SI office. You're going to hear some new voices just to mix it up with me about sports media news and give our opinions on stuff. And then in the last 30 minutes of the podcast will be an interview. And the beauty of that is I can pretty much interview anyone then. Once I cover the sports media stuff, if I want to, you'll hear sports media people in that spot. Don't get me wrong. The guys you've heard on this podcast throughout me taking it over, whether it's Tony Reale, Ryan Russillo, Ian Eagle, Scott Van Pelt, you'll hear all those people still. But if I want to have a week where I want to interview a WWE superstar like this week, Roman Reigns, for instance, he's on. We got him. But if you're interested in sports media and not in WWE, we got you covered with sports media. So that's how we're going to do it going forward. Think that sounds good, Brandon?
Yes.
And hopefully this will also open up to do more interviews with non-sports people, which I like to do. And I know you guys responded really well when I had Bill Burr on and Steve Carell, obviously. So we'll always give you sports media, and then we'll give you an interview with someone in sports media, someone not in sports media, someone maybe not even in sports. So that's how we're going to do things going forward. And like I said, so this episode we've got Andrew Marchand, and him and I cover the latest sports media news on everything from the new Fox College Football pregame show to Stephen A's mistakes and Marv Albert possibly being demoted from Turner in a couple of years. And then WWE superstar Roman Reigns joins the podcast. You know that story by now, even if you're not a wrestling fan. In October, he announced he had leukemia and he left the company for a while, returned a couple of weeks ago, and he is in remission. It's a great story. And he joins us for an interview and talks about his health and getting back on the WWE grind. So that pretty much covers it. Did I leave anything out? I think we covered
it. No, that's pretty much it.
All right. I asked you last week, remind me again, what are your teams?
Oh, we're doing this again.
Just remind me.
Mets, Giants, Bulls, okay, St. John's.
Odell, I got it. What's your take on Odell real fast?
I don't understand why the Giants would sign him to that huge contract, right, and then decide to trade him the next year. It doesn't make any sense to me.
I don't understand trading him and keeping Eli. That's what I don't get.
That too.
Yeah.
But for me, it's going to be sad to see him go, but at the same time, it's a business, and I understand.
Yeah. Speaking of Odell going to the Browns, Andrew Marchand and I talked about what the NFL may do with the Browns in terms of scheduling and opening night, so stick with us for that. So let's get it all rolling. You're going to hear Andrew Marchand in the New York Post covering all the sports media news, and we get very heated about the Fox College Football pregame show. So if you like people fighting, that's for you. And then you'll hear from Roman Reigns in the second half of the podcast, and make sure you subscribe, rate, review. Here's Andrew Marchand. All right, joining me now, SI Media podcast regular, New York Post sports columnist / sports reporter, Andrew Marchand, who had a big week this week. Andrew, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you doing, Jimmy?
I am very well. We saw each other on Tuesday at the CBS Turner Media Day for the NCAA tournament. I'll start there since the tournament is coming up. You know, we especially me, I'm not going to put this on you, I'll speak for myself. We do, you know, bitch and moan a lot about sports media networks, coverage. The tournament is one of those things that CBS and Turner get right, I think. I think for the most part, all the announcers are great. Nance, Harlan, Greg Gumbel in the studio, Ian. They have Raftery as a legend. The tournament coverage, for as big of an event as it is, they get it right for the most part. Would you agree or disagree?
No, I would agree with that. I think it's an enjoyable kind of celebration of a sport that other events maybe aren't as much. And I also think it helps them that I think there's a lot of us who really like college basketball but maybe aren't as engaged all year. And tournament comes around and you say, all right, next 3 weeks, I'm watching a lot of college basketball. And so I think that works to their advantage, but they've been doing it a long time, and I do think they do a very good job.
They had the big blunder last year with the selection show where they decided to announce the teams alphabetically. And I give them credit. They listened to the feedback, and they're changing it for this year. So kudos to them for actually listening to fans, which most sports networks do not like to do.
Yeah, I mean, that was far from shocking. You also have to understand that was more Turner-produced last year. Not more. It was Turner-produced. Mm-hmm. And they were trying it for the first time. They tried to do something new. They admitted it pretty quickly after that it didn't work. And so I don't think this is surprising that CBS went back to the old format, because I disagree with you. I think the networks are very cognizant of what people say, and that was overwhelmingly negative. And so I don't think this is not a 16, you know, beating a 1 in terms of decisions, you know, upset specials. This was, I think, a slam dunk the day after that happened last year.
Yeah, for sure. I do think I'll give one knock on this election show. I still think it's a little bizarre to have Barkley and Kenny Smith there. I mean, they've done it so many years now. You expect it. It's not something that's too shocking, but you have a college football selection show, and Kenny Smith and Charles Barkley are on. I get it. Charles will say anything. He gets attention for anything he says, and I get the synergy with Turner and CBS, but it's still, to me, to just not have it be Greg Gumbel and, you know, two, you know, Clark Kellogg and one other guy, to me, it's a bad look, but that's just me.
If you have Barkley, you know, you play the star, but I understand what you're saying. In terms of breaking down the 8-9 matchup, even though Charles did say he's watched about 100 games, which is a lot, since January, mm-hmm. I don't know if Charles is the man on that, but obviously, you know, he's one of the greats of all time in terms of sports television.
Now, your big story this week that you broke is that Fox has hired Urban Meyer and Reggie Bush. They're going to be doing a college football pregame show nationally on Big Fox Sports, not FS1. And it's going to be Rob Stone as the host, who I like and does a good job. And then you have Urban Meyer, Reggie Bush, Matt Leinart, Brady Quinn. I took issue with some of your verbiage in that story, which we can discuss. But I'm curious. So the Fox, they gave you the quote, this is the Mount Rushmore of college football because you have the great coach in Meyer and the great players in the other three. Did anyone from Fox say anything to you, though, about this is our way of challenging game day, which would be laughable? Or are they just thinking, okay, they do have a good package with the Big Ten and the Pac-12, let's get a legitimate pregame show on the network. What's the mentality there with this pregame show?
They understand that game day has been around for, you know, decades and what it is. But that said, you know, Fox is Fox. So, you know, they're not, you know, they'd have to speak to this, but they're not.
Well, they spoke to you. They spoke to you. So
yeah, they spoke to me, but I'm not speaking for them. Bottom line is, you know, they're taking a swing at the champion. And so,
but they're not.
No matter how they look at it, I don't really care how they look at it. I mean, the story is that they're taking a swing at the champion. And the way they're doing it is they went out and got humongous names. And the only other name you could really, that comes off the top of your head, there's two probably I could think over the last 20 years or so, college football, is Tim Tebow, who's already on ESPN's payroll. And then Charles Woodson, who, you know, didn't do well on NFL Countdown.
Well, that's being a good college football player doesn't mean anyone wants to hear what you have to say on a pregame show.
No, but the one thing I would say, though, Jimmy, is that if you're trying to contend with game day, which is a juggernaut, one of the all-time great shows on campuses, mm-hmm. when it's announced where they're going, it's a huge deal on these campuses.
Right.
How do you cut through? Now, yes, you could get you know, some really good college analysts that, you know, people know but don't really know, that might work. And I agree with you overall. If I'm a TV exec, I'm always hiring people for what they say, not for what they did, although you have to obviously consider what they did, and that can help them. But at the end of the day, I think I've watched Reggie Bush. I think he's pretty good. I've watched Leinart. I think he's pretty good. Brady Quinn on games was pretty good. Now, I think the guy that you're pointing to, and I think is a fair point. Now, when Urban Meyer was doing college football, I was covering the Yankees for ESPN, so I wasn't really paying attention to Urban Meyer. The reviews I've read were not good. He's a legendary coach, so I do think he's the wild card that he could be somebody. Also, we know his history. I don't know Urban Meyer at all, but I do know his history. You know, he's retired and said he's not going to coach before. He's only 54, I believe, and so the idea that maybe he's just taking a year off or a couple of years off before he goes back in the game, so maybe he won't want to say as much, I think that could be a fair thing to watch for. But if you're Fox, I think you take a swing, and they went to their old Fox formula that they like in terms of, you look at their NFL pregame, they have four Hall of Famers. You look at the baseball pregame, they got A-Rod and Frank Thomas. They had Pete Rose before and Big Poppy now. And so that's the formula that they've gone to. And I don't think you can blame them. I know your tweet was like, it's laughable or something. Yeah, you say, LOL.
When you stop talking,
if you were running Fox Sports,
I'll tell you.
Just sit back and say, game day is the best. We're not going
to
do anything.
Here's what I would do. First of all, to challenge game day is laughable. But if you do want to take that.
Hold on a second. You're running Fox Sports. So if you were in a meeting, you'd be like, hey, guys, listen.
Here's what I would do.
Game day's too good. It's laughable. We're not going to do that.
I'll tell you exactly what I would do.
Okay.
I would put the show in a Vegas sports book, not in a studio, not on a campus. That's just copy, unoriginal. Put it in a Vegas. You don't want to be in a sports book? Do it outside the Caesars. Do it outside the MGM. That's the first thing I would do. Then, in terms of the cast, I would try to get likable people. Urban Meyer is a bad dude that people don't want to watch on television. Bad guy. Don't want to watch him. Don't want to hear what he has to say. So it turns my stomach right off the bat that I have no interest in watching the show because he's a bad guy. Go get young people. You don't need, listen, you're not going to compete with game day. So to copy that formula, Matt Leinart and Brady Quinn have been on TV for about 10 years. You can't name one thing they've ever said. It's all the same cookie cutter stuff. Cookie cutter to the max. Go get, mix it up. Get a comedian. Do something different. Go get, Rob Stone is fine. He's a funny guy. He's got a good personality. But then you're just going to saddle him with the same, it's just the same cookie cutter analysts who are going to not say anything. Same old. And you will be on this podcast in a year, maybe 2 years tops, when they cancel it or change the entire cast.
No, we'll see. I'm not predicting they're going to be some great success. I do think it's a big deal that they're on.
And I'll say this. I'll say this.
Go ahead.
From you never want to judge it by this, but if I'm judging it by the responses I got on Twitter, nobody's watching that show.
Maybe. I mean, if you're turning the channel, I think if you're Fox, again, year one, I just think here's the thing. When you put up a new show, you don't just like if and there's a incumbent show. It takes years and years before you really can make a impasse into that. So the idea that you look at the ratings and but you have to try though.
But guys,
look, the gambling here. Let's go over your ideas though. All right?
Wait, I just want to say one thing. I got to follow up on what you just said. I agree with you that it takes years and years to build a show. Those guys are not going to stay there for years and years. Meyer will be gone in 1 or 2 years tops. I mean, that's just a fact. And the other three, whether it's, Reggie Bush, they're going to get tired of getting a 0.1 rating and no one watching them. And they're not going to stick around to build something, especially 3X players who have all the money they need. They don't need to stick around and put in what they need to put in for that show.
Well, here's a rule that I have. I do it for any, when there's broadcasts or whatever. I think you have to let that happen before you can say, you're criticizing for something that hasn't happened.
What did I criticize?
You're saying, in 3 years they're going to cancel. All right, well, they do. Then
no,
2
years. 2 years tops.
2 years? Two years they're going to cancel it.
Yeah.
And perhaps that happens. And I mean, it's possible. If you're asking me if Meyer will be on the show long term, yeah, I don't see him doing 20 years on that show.
Bingo.
The other guys might like it. I got a feeling they're getting paid very well, and you know it could be a very good post career for them, because you look at these studio guys. The one thing you have to understand too about these studio guys, it really keeps you relevant. I mean, it does. It keeps you very relevant as a player. You look at Howie Long and Terry Bradshaw, NFL-wise, those guys are still doing commercials. I mean, what other guys that have been out of the league for 30 years are doing commercials? Nobody.
That's a whole special case.
But I mean,
though,
that's the reason that they'd want to do it. Again, and here's the thing. A good point you make, the show's only an hour, a good point you make, are these guys going to get down and dirty and really learn the teams and learn and have, you know, strong knowledge about what they're talking about? Because you have to live it to really do a show. Now,
but it's not just about the knowledge. But let me push back on that. It's not just about the knowledge, though. If you look at Game Day, the segments that people love, I mean, yeah, they do the Tom Rinaldi get out the Kleenex stories and all that stuff, but they bring on the celebrity guest picker. They got Corso putting on the mascot head every day. You know, even just the stuff between Corso and Herb Street is tremendous. It's not just, you know, why this team can't play defense against a spread offense. It's not just that. And if you're in a studio, too, that especially makes it boring. You know, they're on a campus.
But the signs, Jimmy, in the background.
I get your points
about Game Day. But the one thing you're missing, though, I think, is that your points are basically like Game Day's got it down. They do a great job. And I'm not arguing that. They do. There's no doubt about that. One of the great, you know, studio shows, obviously on the road, shows that's ever been made in terms of sports television. That said, if you're Fox, or if you're another network, you don't just sit back and
do something different.
I'm not going to
cry. Do something different. Cookie cutter. They went cookie cutter.
I mean, the Vegas thing, look, they go over your ideas. A comedian, that's a terrible idea. Come on, you're better than that.
No. Who knows sports? Get someone on there from the gambling community. Get someone on there who's...
I know you like the gambling idea. That's not a terrible idea. You also have to understand that these networks, though, have relationships with conferences. And even though gambling obviously is becoming legal in a lot more places, and it's only going to become more, that I don't know if the Big Ten or the Pac-10 would be that your show starts from Vegas. That may not go over.
Yes, because college football is so on the up and up.
But that's not the point. That's
I
not
know.
The point. This is a big billion-dollar. You might be right, but that's not what you're doing. They're partners with these places. So that's not that of your ideas. That one is less than terrible, but I don't think that would happen, at least in the near term.
Right. So put together a studio show, be in the studio with, you know, the four cookie cutter analysts who won't say anything, and then enjoy putting everyone to sleep. That's what you want to do.
We'll see what happens. I mean, look, they're going on Fox 5, and I don't think they're going to catch Countdown year one, but I do think you have to. I think also if you're Fox, you have to, like, ESPN like owns the Saturday. And they might still own the Saturday, but Fox does, like you said, they have Pac-10, they have Big Ten. They got to try to own the Saturday a little bit more, and that's what they're trying to do with Fox. You know, they're going.
My issue, you're making it like I don't think they should do anything to compete. I do think they do. They should do something to compete. Just do something different. You're just offering up the same old, same old. And because these guys were, as they call it, Mount Rushmore of college football, no one cares if they were good. Kirk Herbstreit was not a legendary college football player. I think he's worked out just fine.
You have to cut through. I mean, those are two different arguments, though. Yes, Kurt Herbstreit.
But they're promoting. Fox is promoting it as the Mount Rushmore of college football players. No one cares if they were good. It doesn't mean you're good as an analyst in the studio or entertaining or engaging.
Yeah, you're wrong about that. You might not care, Jimmy, but the people care.
Okay, so then no one tuned out because Kirk Herbstreit wasn't a great college football player.
No, but they established Kurt Herbstreit. I agree. I said that before. In terms of how I would go about hiring, I would go on what people say, but. Now, Kurt Herbstreit's been around. I think he started in like the mid-90s. So he's been around for, what is that, almost 25 years. And so when you look at it, he's been around a long time to establish himself as Kirk Herbstreit. If you're starting a network, like here's a good example. I could say Dan, and I could never say his last name, Orlovsky. Did I say it right?
Orlovsky.
Dan Orlovsky might be a young Kurt Herbstreit. Right?
He's
very, very good. He played at UConn. Was a 10-year backup. You know, he played in the NFL. It's nothing to sneeze at, but he's not a big name. Fox could go get him and put him on the pregame show, and he'd be a very good analyst. he would not cut through in the near term. Well, so the reason you look for a big name, so to act as if big names don't mean anything, it's ridiculous. You care more what a big name thinks. Can a Kurt Herbstreit
because,
or Orlovsky earn and become a big name? Yes, they can, but it takes time.
Because Magic Johnson, Bill Parcells, Joe Montana, they all worked out wonderfully.
Charles Barkley, John Madden, Phil Sims.
Yeah, but John Madden, again.
Tony Romo, Troy Aikman. All these, I mean, there's, there are a lot of people, there are some terrible, there are guys who are terrible who are big names. There are also some big names who are good. So Fox had to make the evaluation. I've watched some of those guys. I've seen Reggie Bush on NFL Network. I think he's good. I mean, is he the greatest analyst ever? You know, like, in terms of studio guys, there's Barkley and there's basically everyone else.
Yeah, but the reason why Barkley is successful is not because of his analysis, it's because he's unfiltered and says whatever he wants. There's a big difference.
And he's relaxed on TV. And why is Romo so successful?
Because he's different than every other cookie cutter analyst out there.
Yes, but also he's so relaxed on TV. So then that's what you want to build in these studios. Now, did Fox build that? You know, maybe not. Has Game Day built that? Of course they have. They've been doing it for 25 years.
All right, let's change the subject. We did a good amount on this.
Good.
Do you know from sources at ESPN? Is anyone there even slightly embarrassed that they put Stephen A. Smith on the air every day and he says something that's completely mind-boggling in terms of how wrong he is? This week he said that Redskins punter was a starting quarterback. On a Thursday night game, he talked about he couldn't wait to watch two players who hadn't played a game all season. He said Haskins was a running quarterback. At some point, does ESPN say, like, Stephen, either watch sports or stop talking about the sports you don't watch? Or because the ratings are good, nobody cares.
Yeah, I mean, there's thousands of employees. So your question was anybody. So yes, there are people who probably are embarrassed when Stephen A. Smith, makes a mistake
like it's happening once a week now. It's becoming a little bit of a problem, no?
Yeah, at the end of the day, Stephen A. Smith, when his contract's up, will probably be the highest paid ESPN on air person. That's most likely what will happen. So I think that answers your question. At the end of the day, they would prefer he gets it right, but they'd rather he be loud.
Right.
I mean, listen,
which goes back.
But here's the thing. Here's the thing, okay? And it's like, if you're watching these shows to learn something, that's on you. Like, if you take Stephen A. Smith's opinion on everything as if it's gospel and Stephen A. knows. Now, he knows about some things. Don't get me wrong. He does. And he talks to some people in certain sports, you know, obviously specifically the NBA, because that's where his, you know, largest background is and his most expertise is. But if you're taking Stephen A's thoughts on the NFL, like it's gospel, like this guy, he knows what he's talking about, that's on you. I mean, if you're watching because he entertains you because of his delivery and how over the top he is and, you know, how he can get so worked up every single day, then I can understand it. So to answer your question, yes, if it were me, I would be embarrassed that I, you know, thought the punter had played quarterback for the Redskins. I wouldn't want to do that.
Well, let me be clear.
You know, that's not something you'd want to do.
Let me be clear. ESPN should be embarrassed, and anyone who watches that show should be embarrassed that they watch that show. I'll just say that right there. Okay?
I guess, but the people who watch the show, they don't want you. They're college kids between classes.
Right.
They put on First Take. And they're going in and out, but they're not, I don't know. Here's the thing. But here's the thing for Stephen A. This is a Stephen A. And actually, there's everyone out there in podcast land. We did talk about it. We're not talking about Francesa, but I am going to bring him up. You know, I didn't really want to.
I was going to try to make this a Francesa-free interview.
We were making it Francesa-free, but I do think there's a point here that I want to go Francesa-free. But
go ahead.
The thing that with Mike, with the Twitter handle back after this, Funhouse, who takes all of Mike's
chronicles Mike's mistakes shows, and gaffes. Yeah,
exactly. Is that Stephen A. has to be careful not to morph into that.
That's my point.
That's the point.
Right.
And when look, Mike's Francesa's still successful, but a lot of people I kind of feel bad for him. We discussed this before,
right?
But it's more of a laughing at him instead of like, oh, let me hear this. You know, icon who was with Mike and the Mad Dog. You know, and was one of the great radio shows, if not the best sports radio show ever. you know, Stephen A. has to be careful that they're not spreading him too thin, that these mistakes keep happening and he becomes a joke instead of, you know, being someone who has an opinion, who's respected in a lot of ways.
I'll say, I mean, I think what's hurt him too is he's making these mistakes about the NFL, and that's, you better be careful there because you're going to get caught. You're not going to slip one past anyone watching because of the way the NFL, you know, dominates the landscape.
Yeah, it's hard to talk about a million different things. I know the average,
exactly,
everyone out there thinks it's easy to, you know, he should watch, you say like you should watch football. I think he probably does watch football. I mean, I'm not saying his mistake was terrible the other day. I just think it's a little bit harder when you're doing it at a high level to talk about these things on live TV all the time. I'm not giving him a pass, but it's a little bit more difficult than maybe people think. They're huge sports fans and they're listening to this podcast and they're saying, yeah, I could talk about these things. I'd never make mistakes. Sometimes you misspeak. And again, that was a bad. He's had some terrible ones that are embarrassing, but you can misspeak.
Well, listen,
in a big way.
Every single person who is breathing has misspoken. But I also think you have to be smart enough to not talk about things you don't know. I don't come on here and talk about the NHL. I haven't watched the NHL game since 1994, so I'm not going to sit here to talk about hockey. Now, maybe he has no choice because of his job, but, you know.
And here's the other thing, though. I kind of was like a little sympathetic, but here's the other thing, though. It's ESPN. Now, you know, there are times where, you know, I worked at ESPN, I was on SportsCenter, I was on all those shows, and there's a lot of things sometimes going on that people don't know.
Right.
I used to always tell, like, you know, like, nobody cares. Like, nobody cares. I was on Colin Cowherd once, and my daughter was home sick, and, you know, I had her downstairs, she's like four, and she's screaming up because the TV stopped, and I'm just like, I had to mute him, yelled out at her, you know, mute my phone, say, give me 5 minutes, and then answer the question. No one cares. Like, I just had to get that done,
right.
And that's it. And so to your point, though, you know, Stephen A. is getting paid a lot, millions, and so when he messes up, you know, it's at the highest level. So it's so I can understand when people get down on him, but I do think it's a little bit more difficult than people think.
All right, on Wednesday you have a column. There's two parts of the column. The first part: NBC and CBS are switching years for the Super Bowl. That I don't care about. No offense. You knew I didn't care about that, but you.
It's business. Yeah. It's business.
Yeah, that's a bit. Yeah, yeah.
Average man doesn't.
Doesn't make a difference to me and the people listening. The Marv thing is interesting. So Jeff Zucker now takes over for Turner and Bleacher Report, which I think is going to be very interesting because the success Bleacher Report and Turner have had the last couple of years is pretty impressive. They're growing. They've got so much momentum. They dominate in a lot of areas, and now there's a change at the top, and Jeff Zucker comes in, which I don't know. You know. You look at CNN and how awful it is. It makes me nervous as a sports fan about what could happen to TNT and Turner and Bleach Report. But you had a thing in your column that even before Zucker, when David Levy was still there, Turner wants to sort of phase out or at least get Marv off the number one team for the NBA.
Yes.
That's still the plan for Turner?
Well, it was the plan with David Levy, who left, who Zucker replaced, and Lenny Daniels, who's the president of Turner. That was their plan. That, you know, Marv, counting this year, has 3 years left on his deal, 2 years after this one, and the plan was that Marv would, you know, they in their hopes, I think, is that Marv would do this year and then next year. Brian Anderson, who they had as their leading candidate. And so now, you know, that it's going to, we have to wait and see what happens. First off, Lenny Daniels, we have to see what happens with him because a lot of times when a guy like Jeff Zucker comes in, they like to bring in their own people,
right.
You know, especially in high positions. So yeah, that was the plan. I don't know if that will continue to be the plan, but that was the
plan.
I
mean, listen, in 2 years, like you said, Marv's got this season and then two more. So he'll be 79 or 80 when the deal is up. So I can understand. There's a part of me that understands wanting to make that move. There's also a part of me that's like, listen, you have Marv Albert. You leave him there as, you know, long as possible. Now, I like Brian Anderson a lot. I think he's very good. But I'll tell you, man, if you're gonna boot out Marv in 3 years and not give that job to Kevin Harlan, that's wrong. Sorry. It's wrong.
Yeah, Kevin Harlan's been there a long time. You know, he's been the backup to number two guy there. You know, does the Super Bowl on CBS radio. So Westward won, I guess it is actually now. Kevin Harlan could get it. You have Ian Eagle out there as well, who does games for Turner.
Yep.
Does the Nets for 25 years. Mike Breen, you would think of, but he's not going anywhere because he's on a long-term contract with ABC ESPN, and that's still a better job because you're doing the finals. When you look at it, Brian Anderson, he worked for the Spurs for 9 years, I think 9 or 10 years, and then he was eventually a sideline reporter. To me, he's not as much of an NBA guy as, Harlan or Eagle. So, right. Harlan's been there a long time. It's kind of his turn, you would say. And then I would say Ian Eagle is probably the best of all those guys that they could get.
Two more quick ones. Have you checked out the new ESPN? I should have asked you this after we argued about Fox. Have you checked out the new ESPN gambling show that's on at 6 p.m. Eastern?
I watched a lot of the first episode.
What were your thoughts on it?
It was pretty good. It was all right, in terms of what it was. I mean, obviously they're going to put everyone on there for that first episode.
Right.
They had Van Pelt on there. They had some other people. But, look, they're going to try that out. ESPN News, even though it's on a lot of our cable systems, it's still kind of, when you're at ESPN, that's sort of, a sort of double A compared to ESPN2 is, can be majors, but also is like AAA, and then ESPN's the majors. They're trying things out. I think it's, I found it pretty compelling.
All week I've been meaning to, 6 o'clock is just a rough time because that's usually right when I'm on a train leaving New York City back to lovely Long Island. And I've been meaning to DVR it and I keep forgetting.
They also have Jimmy, I know you're old, but they also have an app.
Yeah, but I don't
watch it on the app.
I understand that. And yes, I am old. But yeah. Streaming on the Long Island Railroad is not a pleasant experience. Trust me. Listen.
Hey, SI pays you big money. Yeah. When you get home, do a little work.
Yeah,
watch a gambling show. It's a real job.
I'll pass. I do want to watch it. I will check it out. But I'm just saying would be nice to be able to watch it on the Long Island Railroad. But for people who don't know around the country, I'll sum up the Long Island Railroad this way. They still use 3-hole punches when they come around to punch the tickets. So... streaming a show on there is not exactly an easy thing to do.
I want to say something.
Yeah, yeah, go ahead.
You just brought up a topic. You're like, I've done no research. I don't know anything about this.
What topic?
But have you done any? I mean, that's what you basically just did.
What topic?
The gambling show.
Yeah,
you're one of the show. I haven't watched.
You're one of the most trusted media critics in the country. I wanted to know your opinion of it. You should be flattered. You should be flattered, not knocking me.
I watched the debut.
Yeah, that's yeah. Why do you think I'm having you on here?
Give us some
information.
All right. I thought it was all right. I thought it was pretty good.
Now, I should have asked you this after the Stephen A. thing, because this is sort of a similar thing. Now, the NFL Network, they've got their own problem, it seems like, with Charlie Casserly, who is out there quoting anonymous people left and right and destroying prospects. Do you think this is a big story? Is this something that's on your radar, or is this just a little Twitter thing?
In what way? I mean, look,
should the NFL Network be concerned that this guy's getting so much heat?
Well, here's the thing. Now, I've written a million stories in my life. I really don't like letting someone say something anonymous and then, totally crushing someone else's character. Now, when I covered baseball, did I ever talk to a scout about like a minor leaguer and they'll be like, he can't hit the curveball or something like that? But if they are like questioned his heart or something like that, I don't think I ever ran anything like that. I'm pretty sure. Because I just don't think that's fair. Put your name to it if you're going to do that. So, and then you find out that Charlie Casserly is consulting prospects about these interviews, but he wasn't doing Kyler Murray's. That does not smell right.
Right.
And
it's happening on the NFL Network. That's what I find interesting about it. If it happened on FS1, you would say, okay, well, it's FS1. But the NFL Network's letting a guy go on there destroying people, with these anonymous quotes. It's a little shaky.
Yeah, it's weird. It makes me laugh because I listen to Boomer and Geo. Mm-hmm. And Geo does an impersonation of Casserly, don't it? And so when I think about it, he just kind of, he takes it to a different level in terms of, like, breaking it down in that kind of, a little hyperbole about what Casserly actually said. To your point, yes, but ultimately most of these places, They care about what you say about the commissioners and what you say about the owners.
Right,
and the rest of the stuff, it's like, I mean, you know, they don't want you to disparage people, but, you know, if you just stay away from the owners and the commissioners and their kind of, and the money a little bit, then you're probably fine. But that's where you can get yourself into, if you're on one of those networks where you can really get yourself into some trouble.
Yeah. Do you think, this will be the last one, what the Browns next year, or this season, coming season, they play the Patriots and Rams. Those are their two best games. They have the Steelers twice, obviously, but who knows what the Steelers would be now this year that the team's dismantled. Opening night NFL, that Thursday night NBC, first game of the season. If I had to ask you for a prediction, are we seeing the Browns in that game against the Patriots or Rams, you think?
I think John Orand, our buddy from the Sports Business Journal, said something about the Patriots not being in that game.
Right. I had him on the podcast to talk about that a few weeks ago, and he said the logic there is that the Patriots are such a guarantee for a rating on a Sunday 425 that the networks would rather not mess with that and put something else, because the Thursday night game is going to be an automatic ratings generator no matter who you put there on that opening night. So that's why I was wondering about, you know, maybe you go Browns.
So I guess the answer to your question, though, then, is that I guess the Patriots wouldn't be on then. That's what my point is.
Well, but they also might. But the flip side of that is, now that the Browns are a real team and they've got the, I don't know if there's a team that has more buzz now than the Browns. It seems like they got to be on that Thursday night game. And then, I mean, maybe you go Browns-Steelers. Browns, like I said, they play the Rams. That would be a good game, even though they still have the stench of the Super Bowl there. Or the NFL plays it safe maybe and goes, you know, with the Chiefs or someone like that. But it seems like they should be capitalizing on the Browns right now.
Yeah, I mean, I think they could be the Browns. I really have no inside information, so I'd just be guessing. I mean, they could be any team. But
can you imagine the Browns on opening the NFL season? That'd be phenomenal.
I mean, they're going to be good. As a Steeler fan, I'm not looking forward to it. I mean, it's hard to imagine. I mean, I don't know. Somehow they could implode. I guess Baker Mayfield could get hurt, but they'd seem loaded.
Yeah. All right, we've made it without talking about Francesa. I think we both deserve a pat on the back.
Thank you.
I appreciate you coming on. And
Jimmy, I enjoyed it.
Me too.
You were wrong on about 85% of the things you said, but I enjoyed talking to you.
Listen, I want nothing more for you than to be tucked in your house on a Saturday morning with the kids, little break from writing for the New York Post, Urban Meyer on your TV. I'm sure you will be riveted.
Actually, one of my daughters did say that she may want to go to like these big schools because she's watching game day. And I think she liked the atmosphere.
The Mount Rushmore.
I just have to pay. Now I just have to pay somebody like $500,000. She could be like a polo player.
Fox saying they have the Mount Rushmore of analysts. We'll go on the Mount Rushmore of dumb takes. That's all I know about the Mount Rushmore.
Right, well, I mean, listen, I was quoting a source, so before you put it on them, I'll take the. You put me on that Mount Rushmore.
All right.
But anyway.
Well, thanks for mixing it up. I appreciate it.
All right, Jimmy.
Be well. Take care. All right, my thanks to Andrew Marchand of the New York Post. Good energy there from Andrew. We love that. We're going to get to WWE superstar Roman Reigns in just a second. But first, I need to tell you that this episode of the Sports Illustrated Media Podcast is sponsored by Robinhood. Robinhood is an investing app that lets you buy and sell stocks, ETFs, options, and cryptos, all commission-free. While other brokerages charge up to $10 for every trade, Robinhood doesn't charge any commission fees, so you can trade stocks and keep all of your profits. Plus, there is no account minimum deposit needed to get started, so you can start investing at any level. The simple, intuitive design of Robinhood makes investing easy for newcomers and experts alike. View easy-to-understand charts and market data and place a trade in just 4 taps on your smartphone. You can also view stock collections, such as the 100 most popular. And with Robinhood, you can learn how to invest in the market as you build your portfolio. Discover new stocks, track your favorite companies, and get custom notifications for price movements so you never miss the right moment to invest. Robinhood is giving listeners of the SI Media Podcast a free stock, such as Apple, Ford, or Sprint, to help you build your portfolio. Sign up at simedia.robinhood.com. That's simedia.robinhood.com. Now we go to WWE superstar Roman Reigns. Roman, how are you?
Jimmy, what's good, man? How you doing, bud?
It is so great. We've talked many times in the past, but this one is obviously extra special. It's great to talk to you today. How are you?
I'm doing good. It's good to talk again.
Do you remember what happened the last time I had you on this podcast?
We've had a few things happen. You've insulted me.
I just got your age wrong. That was the only thing. There's been no other insults. I know you.
I got a few grays on my chin, but it's not that bad, man.
I know you're 33 now. I got that all worked out. No more.
There we go.
No more insults. How you doing with everything? Obviously, you're back. You're healthy. It's a phenomenal story. Would you just came back, you know, recently. It hasn't been a while yet, but are you back full-time schedule, or are you easing into things?
We're kind of easing into things. I think it's like in the middle of easing and back to close to full-time, but
right
now we're just on a TV schedule. And then obviously, you know, our big events. But, you know, with it being entertainment, with us, you know, being a scripted storytelling product, we can make it work, you know, and to be able to take care of me and manage the workload, you know, until I feel like I'm swimming pretty good in the deep end. I think we're going to take care of me and just be smart, you know, and just slowly introduce me, you know, back to the full schedule. And then hopefully post-Mania, once we get through, you know, our big events, you know, internationally and through the European tour, hopefully by the time we get done with that European tour, I'll be on all cylinders, you know, back to, you know, A-plus in ring shape, you know, where I can do 30-minute, you know, main events every night and, you know, just get back to complete normalcy.
Yeah, it's interesting you mentioned Mania. I mean, the timing of your comeback is, you want to obviously ease into it after what you've been through, but it is WrestleMania season, so I guess that makes it a little more difficult since this is when the WWE takes center stage.
Yeah, I never really picked the perfect time or the easiest time to get back into stuff. So it was one of those things that you got to hit the ground running.
Right.
This is always the most, you know, busy time of the year for us, but that's what makes it so special for me. And for the months that I was out, I missed this, you know, I missed the WWE. I missed my locker room. I missed, you know, everybody backstage, all the camaraderie that I, you know, have on the road with all my coworkers. It's a big family away from family, you know, so to be able to come back and help the team out and to be a part of, you know, our biggest event of the year, you know, this is our holiday season for us. So to be a part of that, it really feels special.
You've obviously, when you came back to Raw, you did that interview with Robin Roberts, Good Morning America, and the WWE Chronicle that's on the WWE Network, which is a great watch. I recommend it highly. You've talked about, obviously, the leukemia that came back and how you dealt with it. I'm curious about the mental side of it for you. I think in Chronicle, you said you spent the first couple of months on the couch. I'm just curious what message you would have for people going through any sort of illness from the mental standpoint and how important it is to not maybe fall into that depression, or maybe it's natural that you're going to fall in that depression, but how you bounce back and snap out of it and how important that was to your recovery.
Yeah, it's hard. You know, you can find yourself in that little spiral going down that rabbit hole of depression, I guess you could say, and a lot of different things, you know, stress. There's so many different emotions because life continues, you know,
right.
with me, you know, all this stuff going on, my bills didn't go away. You know, my kids didn't stop growing. They were still getting hungry and, you know, life had to continue. And that's just a big part of it. And I think you have to come to realization that that's just the way it works and focus on the things you can control. So when I started just focusing on my family and just the enjoyment of being around my kids and just focusing, look, I know you don't want to be here under these circumstances because I'm so used to being on the go. I'm nomadic. You know, I mean, we just chase, we chase the shows, you know, that's how we live. Once I was able to kind of get my brain to calm down on that and just focus on, look, you haven't had much time at home in a few years, maximize every minute you have. And when I did that, that's when I started to really get comfortable in the situation and really calm myself down and not worry so much and not stress out about being left behind or, you know, not achieving every goal that I set out or, you know, not being able to, you know, get to where I wanted to be exactly. So it helped me kind of deal with the time and deal with the obstacles, you know, assess the adversity that I was going through, and then, you know, kind of create a game plan and also give my body time, because your body, you know, in this situation, there's not like a lot that you can do. You know, you just take your medication and pray for the best. Or even if you're going through treatments, you do your treatments and you hope for the best, but you don't really know if your body is going to do what it needs to do. You don't know how resilient or how quickly it's going to bounce back. So if you put that in your mind and you start stressing yourself out about that, you end up stressing your body out. So it's kind of a chain reaction. But I think my family and my time with them were able to really distract me and take my mind off of the negative, you know, aspects.
What was something, because you were finally off the road, obviously not in the circumstances you wanted, but you said earlier you were home for 2 months. Was there something you accomplished or did that you hadn't been able to do over the years with that crazy WWE schedule that you were like, oh, I'm glad I knocked that out?
Well, most recently, you know, and it was such a little thing, but a huge thing was just for my sons. They're, you know, my sons are a little over 2 years old now, mm-hmm. so they're still really brand new and they're still learning everything, you know. And when I was on that heavy schedule where I was just coming in and out, you know, only home for 2 days, they'd get to know me for that 2 days, but I knew they were forgetting me. They would forget my face, but the time at home, my presence was drilled into them to know who I am and, you know, how I smell and how I act, and just to know that dad has home, you know,
right.
Opposed to like, wait, who's that? I know that face. I'm not quite sure. Oh, that is, yep, that's dad.
Yeah, that's.
But I'd rather go to mommy.
Right.
You know, so
yeah,
for me to create those little relationships, it was really neat.
Well, that's awesome. Yeah, two is that age where their brains are working in a different way. They start to work in a different way. Yeah.
Yeah, my mom always says they're not playing; they're learning everything that they do. Everything that they do, touch, feel. You know, they're examining everything.
Yeah, tell me. The leukemia aside, which is, I know, almost impossible to do, obviously, but you come back on that Monday Night Raw to announce you're in remission, and then you came out last week, was your second week back on the show. Tell me about the second week more than the first week, because obviously the first week for you is going to be emotional, but what was it like for you to come out that second week when we all knew, thank God, you were healthy? And you're getting cheered now instead of booed when so much of your career was about the boos. Was that jarring that second week when you got cheered?
Not, to be honest, no. You know, and it's funny because, I, you know, there's obviously a lot of articles and people have tracked my career. But if you're there every single night, there's been plenty of nights where I get cheered.
Right.
Like I'm a complete baby face, you know, and not everybody's there for the Friday shows or, you know, the international tours. But there's only a few places that I get, you know, heavily booed. And a lot of times that will be on a live, you know, broadcast where the fans know what they're doing and they know it's live and they can act how they want. Or, you know, certain, you know, areas depending, you know, but typically it's mainly around TV. But if you go to a live event, I mean, and it's funny because I've read articles where they'll, you know, they note the type of reactions people get.
Right.
And, you know, they'll note that I got a, you know, primarily positive pop. And you'll see in the comments, they're making that up, just like they filtered in the cheers on TV and all this stuff. So it's one of those deals that I've just kind of been, I've experienced it because I'm there every night. But people who only tune in every once in a while or see a TV every once in a while, that's just the one experience or the handful of experiences they had.
Right.
So for me to hear that, it wasn't crazy, you know, it wasn't like a crazy, you know, alien reaction that I've never yeah. heard before. But yeah. the fact that it was in Philly and the fact that there was so much, you know, reality tied into it, and that it's weird because I'm at the point now where I walk out there and I'm like half Roman, half Joe now.
Right.
Well, and before I was able to just check Joe and Gorilla and be like, all right, I'll be back. We're going to do this Roman thing for a little while.
That it's funny you brought that up because I have that written right at the top of my little notepad here about when you announced the leukemia, you came out as Joe. And I was wondering, do you, you know, what does this do, what you've been through, to the Roman character? And do you think, although the Roman character, I guess, is a lot Joe, would that be accurate to say that, or would that be inaccurate to say that?
There was always a little bit of Joe in there, but yeah. I've always kind of been able to separate them that way. There was no loss of identity. I was always able to separate them just for the fact that I didn't want to have that WWE bubble around me all the time. I didn't want to be Roman Reigns, the WWE superstar, every day.
Right.
I like being Joe. I like being who I am, being a regular guy, being a fam, you know, a dad, you right. know, a husband. I like that. You know, I like to be able to just get outside of that and not take myself too seriously.
Do you think? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, do you think we'd ever see you in the WWE as Joe?
Well, I honestly think last week, you know, that's what was one of my goals, is to get, like, I was like, okay, I knew the first week was going to be crazy emotional, but I don't want to be the guy that comes out there and everybody gets like semi-sad or gets super heavy all the time. You know, I want right. people to have fun. I want to create escapism. I want people to, it's like a mini vacation on their couch.
Gotcha.
So I was, you know, let's get ready. Let's get in these storylines and let's take all this, you know, positive, you know, sensitivity being sent to me and let's kind of shift it and send it, you know, to people in need. So that's kind of where I'm at now, is, you know, shifting all this positive energy from me
right.
to the people in need. But also within the storylines and the character, I think because we have introduced Joe, especially last week, I felt like there was a lot of Joe within the promo of segment one. Mm-hmm. And even with the interaction of Seth, I just feel like with me kind of integrating the characters and, you know, who I am in real life and who I am on, you know, on stage, for me to kind of mix them, it allows me to, you know, kind of laugh at Roman a little bit,
right,
just
right.
have a little more fun and be a little more loose, opposed to the, you know, the more stoic brawler. You know, if you know me in real life, you know, I'm, you know, kind of like my cousins. I'm a bit of a clown. I act up, you know, we goof off a lot. You know, we're silly, you know, we're just big kids, you know, we're always, you know, goofing around and trying to laugh. So I think, if I can add that in the next couple of years, you know, those layers of, you know, just being a chilled out, you know, a little more comedy.
That would be great.
A few different emotions, I think that'll be pretty neat.
Yeah, that'll definitely be cool to see that side of you. I have to admit, and this may really make me sound like a sicko, and I hope it doesn't, but I have to admit, when I was watching you the second week back, I watch it, for me, it's a little weird because I'm watching it as sort of two different people. I'm watching it as like, the guy who works for Sports Illustrated and does interviews, and you've always been great to me, and I've always loved doing the interviews with you. So like, it's like, I'm happy you're back, and that's great. And then there's like the wrestling fan of me, and I'm like, this would be the perfect time for Roman to just kick the shit out of Seth Rollins, go heel. But there's no way you could have done that last week, right? There's just no way.
It's funny. I always look at both sides of the fence too, and I was feeling the same way. Like, what a setup that was.
Oh yeah, and you tease. You know, I got to say, I thought for maybe a second or two it was happening because you guys were waiting for Dean, I think, to come in, and you were looking around and doing that heel thing. And I'm like, if he pops him, this would be phenomenal. So I know you got to go. Very quickly, tell me about doing the movie with The Rock and being in Hawaii, if you can. Let's end on that, if you don't mind, because that was cool to see.
It was awesome. You know, and I've always been the guy who stays on the live events. You know, a lot of my coworkers and peers have been able to, you know, jump that fence and be on a movie set and make a film. I had no clue. I've always asked, you know, I was asking, I think, the B team, you know, a few months ago about the movie they did with the WWE and just getting all the details and what the experience was like and the etiquette of being on set and all the, just, I had like a bunch of just like a, you know, a bunch of Mark questions, just asking all the questions. And it was neat to be able to go through the experience and see how their magic is made and to be able to take my experience from, you know, what we do from live performance and television and to be able to use some of it and learn. Yeah, it kind of gave me a little bit of a head start to be able to understand some of the terminology and just the ways of thinking and the method behind all their madness. So it was neat. It was awesome to see, you know, Dwayne and his element, to see the world that he's built. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's some world.
He's got a pretty neat setup. Yeah. I don't want to give any secrets away. it wouldn't be a bad transition to start living like he does.
Right.
But yeah, it was neat. You know, it was fun. But the really cool part was to be able to be a part of a film that really highlights our Samoan culture, you know, the Polynesian way of life. To be able to take a box office feature to our island, we're very proud of that. So it's going to be really neat, and hopefully the world enjoys, you know, a bit of our customs.
Well, I'm glad you got to do that, and obviously I'm glad you're back and healthy and able to do interviews again. And really, I was pulling for you. I'm glad you're back. Hopefully, you guys, WWE has WrestleMania going on in New York City this year, so you got the whole thing, NXT, SmackDown, Raw, WrestleMania, all in New York. So Roman will be here. Hopefully, maybe we run into each other. And thanks for doing this. I appreciate it. And like I said, I'm glad you're back and glad you're healthy.
Thank you, Jimmy. Thanks for having me. It was good talking to you, man.
You too. Take it easy.
Thanks for being nice this time.
Oh, come on. I've always one slip up. One slip up. I said 43 instead of 33. Don't hold it against me. You promised me the last time you would watch The Office, and I didn't even call you out and ask you if you did, but you know,
so I shunned it. I was after the 43. I said,
"Yeah, there it is." All right. Be well, Roman. Take care.
All right, brother. You too.
Jim.
Take care. All right. My thanks to WWE superstar Roman Reigns for coming on. Glad he's back, and especially glad he's healthy. And my thanks to New York Post sports media columnist Andrew Marchand. Make sure you subscribe, rate, and review to the SI Media Podcast. We're all over the place. iTunes, Spotify, Google Play. Check it all out. Please subscribe. It helps a lot. We'll see you next week right here on the SI Media Podcast. Take care.